George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way, featuring the great Peter Maluk. He is the president and CEO of Creative Planning. They are one of the top independent wealth advisory firms in the world. He is an all-around great guy, a committed member of his community, and a family man. I know you're going to love it. We had an awesome conversation. It started off with two truths and a lie. We talked about the difficulties of knowing what really matters in a chaotic world, what we should be focusing on. We talked about balancing long-term versus short-term. We talked about advice to young people. We talked about the problem and opportunity of inertia when it comes to money. We talked about simplifying money. And then we closed with a wonderful difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Peter, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
All right. In the past year, I have seen The Weeknd in concert. I have seen Morgan Wallen in concert. And I have seen Taylor Swift in concert.
Oh, my goodness. Those are excellent. Difficult. Okay. I know you've got three kids, but I don't know if you have sons or daughters or if that plays into this at all. I am going to say that you've not seen The Weeknd.
You are correct. Yes. I've seen him, but not in the past year. So, damn, that's impressive. All right.
All right. So what was the context of Taylor Swift is a phenomenon, as all of these artists are? How was that experience?
So I went to The Weeknd with my oldest, but that was a couple of years ago. And so you got it right. And then all of them went to Morgan Wallen. I've taken my daughter to every Taylor Swift tour going back to 15 years ago when she did her first tour and no one knew who she was. And some guy on a guitar was opening for her. It turns out that was Ed Sheeran. And just like way, way back when my daughter was very little. And so we've not missed a tour yet. So we just kept the streak going.
Amazing. And are they getting better and better?
I think without exaggeration, the greatest singer-songwriter of this century so far.
Okay. Well, there
that
you go.
That good.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right. Well, those are solid. Nothing better than live music. Aside from that, what's top of mind for you right now, Peter?
Well, I think a lot about the markets and everything going on in the world, just like our clients do. And I think, you know, we're in the perfect storm of all the stuff that freaks everybody out that doesn't really matter to a long-term investor. You know, war in Ukraine, war in the Middle East, either of those have a recipe. You can see it in a history book going from a small, well, not a small, but like a local war to a regional war to a world war. You see an election, probably one of the most contentious in a long time, coming up with people with different, very, very different points of views about the world. You have all this interest rate trouble. You have inflation and the immigration issue. All of these things have real economic impact. But for the long-term investor, you know, these are not big factors. The big factors are innovation, technology, you know, people emerging out of poverty over the next decade. And so it's really just keeping the eye on the ball, you know, helping long-term investors keep their eye on the ball, keep their eye on the prize.
Amen. It's not easy, though.
No, it's like there's just always something. And if you just go back, 100 years, I mean, people are like, oh, this is the craziest time to be alive. Like, really? Worse than the Spanish flu and world wars? I mean, and the Great Depression? I mean, you know, these are not perfect, but it's certainly much better than I'd say 95% of all points in history.
One of my favorite quotes, and I don't know if it's Buddha or Jack Kornfield, says, tend to the parts of your garden that you can touch.
Oh, I like that. I have not heard that. That's good.
You know, we're pulled in so many directions and surprise is such a powerful emotion. So when I read a headline, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's happening right now. And I get sucked in, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not that it doesn't matter, but it doesn't necessarily matter as a long-term investor.
Right. I don't know that it makes a lot of sense to be emotionally expended on it or to make investment decisions based upon it, for sure.
So here we are. We are at this point. I don't know if it's disruption. We've got technology is always advancing and artificial intelligence. And you obviously head up this massive financial firm that's helping so many different people and managing so much money. How are you thinking about AI?
Well, I think AI is going to change everything. I think it's impossible for us to overstate how incredible it's going to be, how much it will influence all of our lives. It's like the first day the internet came out, you know, people thought it would be big, but no one could appreciate. This is that times, I think, 100. I think 1,000, 2,000 years from now, if the Earth is still spinning, and that's a big if, but if the Earth is still spinning and there are people on it and there are history books, you know, there'll be, you know, 7, 8 key points in history of man, the evolution of mankind. And they're going to point right to right now as one of those times. We are living in one of those times where we're going to see advances with technology and healthcare and quality of life that are unimaginable to us. And it's an exciting time to be alive.
And how it pertains to financial, the delivery, or just how is it going to impact the work of professional advisors?
Well, I think that first, a lot of people think, well, AI is going to come take my job. But if you look throughout history, you know, you get the car, and then you get planes, and you get printing, and you get the internet, and Blockbuster takes out the mom and pop shop, and then Netflix takes out Blockbuster. But you know what happens is unemployment has gone down. We've just moved from really tough jobs to much easier jobs. I used to be one in two of us was a farmer not that long ago, and one in four was in manufacturing. Now, very tiny percentage are in farming and manufacturing, but unemployment is lower. And so I think AI really improves the quality of life for everybody. I think it will, like the internet and technology, make advisors more efficient. One advisor will be able to do a lot more, which means they'll be able to drive more value to the client for the same fee or lower their fee ultimately.
The arc of farmers. One in two of us was a farmer back in the day.
That's right. That's right. Not that long ago.
What a wonderful way to illustrate that.
Yeah. And what's crazy is the couple percent of people that still are farmers are doing output many times more than half the population was doing at one point. So the power of technology.
Is there anything about it that you're nervous or uncomfortable about?
Oh, 100%. I think that the people that are fearing a surveillance society, I don't think that's crazy conspiratorial stuff. That's where we're heading. You know, everything you do, a computer, or some technology is going to know what you're doing all the time. So you can put as positive a spin on that as you want. Like somebody mugs somebody somewhere, there is zero chance they're getting away with it when we go 10, 20 years out. But also, like this, any sense of privacy you had, forget it. You may as well have a chip in your hand, the way everyone's going to know everything that's happening all the time in the not too distant future.
That doesn't sound awesome.
No, it does. That part does not sound awesome. But if you get sick and all of a sudden you get a course of treatment that you would not have had, and you get to live 12 years longer, I mean, there's a lot of pros and there are going to be cons.
Yeah. Dichotomies and double-edged swords and yin and yang and all this stuff, Peter.
That's right.
But you're positive about the future.
Very, very positive. I think if you look in history, whenever you see demographics improving, and we've got over 1 billion people coming out of poverty in the next decade, and you see advancements in technology, and I think we're on the cusp of the greatest technological innovation mankind has ever seen. When you see those two things together, you see economic expansion and quality of life improve. It's not linear. Doesn't mean next year will be better than this year, but it definitely means that it'll be better a decade from now than today. So it's very friendly for investors.
Yeah.
Long-term investors.
So I wanted to ask about, I saw that you just recently did, maybe it was even today, you talked to some young people. What message do you share with young people about money?
Well, with the young people, I tell them that the biggest advantage they have is the single biggest advantage of investing, and that's youth. I mean, nothing is more powerful than youth when it comes to investing, because throw your money in the S&P 500, it should double about every 7 years. Obviously, if you're 20, that's super compelling, right? You've got a lot of times for it to double. It's almost impossible not to become a multimillionaire with very modest savings if you start in your 20s. Whereas somebody starting in their 40s and 50s, they've got to save many, many, many times over. So the main message I try to get across to kids, younger people, young adults, when I'm speaking in a college or high school, is the power of now, the power of getting going and really getting started.
Why is that so hard for us?
You know, once it's in motion, we tend to stay in motion. But like a little thing like, okay, I mean, I tell people don't have an account. I go, look, go open an account. Go today. Go to the Schwab office, Fidelity office, open an account today. You know, 95% of people aren't going to do it. But if you can get past that and start an automatic deposit of $20 or $1,000, whatever it is a month, Most people just do it for the rest of their life and not even think about it. It's just really making that initial shift is tough for people.
Inertia is a very real thing,
100%.
Both ways.
Yes.
Easy to keep it going, really hard to start
That's
it
right.
if I'm not in
That's
the habit
right.
of doing it.
Yep.
And you also, through your pathway, are working with grownups who maybe have not gotten on that whole inertia thing or the correct side of inertia.
Right. So after we were kind of seeing all the turmoil that happened, a lot of social unrest and a lot of people's awareness about maybe some inequities, you know, at Creative Planning, we've always supported a lot of different charities that provide help to people that need a break. Like, for example, tomorrow we do our annual event where we work at this place called Giving the Basics, where we put together things people can't get with food stamps, but that they need to go to school or get a job, like deodorant and feminine hygiene products and soap and shampoo. And so they distribute that to everybody. And those are the kinds of causes we support. But we're really looking to do something else. And we said, well, what do we have here? Well, we have experts in tax and law and in finance, and they could help business owners. And so we opened up Pathway in a community here that really needs it. And they provide education to teenagers. They provide education to adults and households. They provide education to business owners. And it's something that's been able to use the talent set that we have here in a way that I think has been great for the community.
Yeah, I think that that's awesome. So you are the CEO of Creative Planning. Maybe this is a dumb question, but I'll just ask it. How do you identify? Do you say I'm CEO? And somebody asks you, what do you do? What do you say?
When somebody asks me, I usually tell them I'm a financial planner, I'm a wealth manager. That's almost always my answer. And that's what I do most of the day. And that's the only thing I have been for my entire career. Sometimes I had other titles, but I primarily just tell people I'm a financial planner. They kind of understand what that is.
Okay, got it. And in your role as CEO, I imagine that you spend a lot of time thinking about how to make the lives and your advisors' practices better so they can better serve clients. And then you probably think about just how can I do a better job directly serving clients? How do you split those, or is it sort of the same thing?
Well, sometimes they overlap and sometimes they're different, but you've hit the nail on the head. I actually, when I walk through the doors into the building every morning, I remind myself of two things. I'm here to make sure we're doing everything we possibly can for the client. What am I missing? What could be better? You know, what are the gaps? That kind of thing. And then as great a place to work as possible for everybody that's here. And if you do those two things, everything else will work out. So I tend not to worry about, I don't do any forecasting, for example, or anything like that. It's just focus on those two things and then let everything else take care of itself.
And how are you doing with it?
I think we're doing all right. I mean, it's an enormously successful firm. It's got a lot of different great leaders here, incredibly talented, consultative, passionate group of people. I'm proud to pass in the hallways every day. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of people here that keep us in the winning column.
And what are you working on personally?
Well, I mean, personally, I just, you know, as your kids get older, you get more and more intense about making every minute count. And so, you know, personally, it's every minute I'm not here, I'm with the family or my friends, just getting as much out of life as I possibly can. You know, every day is a gift and a blessing. And I know that, and fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of people that I love, and just try to make the most of all of that as much as possible.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've got a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 10-month-old. You have any parents?
Oh, man, you look well rested for that.
Well, we're fortunate. My kids are good sleepers. So.
Good for you. I'm not familiar with what that must be like.
You have a parenting tip for me?
I have found really early, like I kind of viewed my kids as, I think kids are way, way, way smarter than people give them credit for. And so I would really listen to them even when they're very young and what they wanted and what motivated. And I'm surprised at how many times I've given my advice to kids and they did something different and they were completely correct about what to do. You know, my oldest son was going to college and I said, hey, you should look at this program. And he did a different major. He was right. And then I said, you should look at maybe joining this association. He joined a different one and he was right. And I think that, you know, our job as parents is to teach our kids how to think, not what to think. You know, if your kid grows up and believes every single thing you do exactly like you do, it does everything exactly like you do, well, then you really kind of imposed yourself on them, right? And I just look at my, I'm very, you know, proud of my kids. They all went their own way. They did things that myself and my wife didn't do. They did it their own way. And I think that the things we really focused on transferring were the way to think, their values and habits, but not really what they're doing day to day. Let them be their own, let them be their own people.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can effectively do that, successfully do that, I couldn't agree more. So great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Do people say that enough to parents? Good job.
I remember when we had our twins, and about 3 months in, I told my wife, I'm actually surprised at how many kids are alive. You know, parenting is so hard. You're like, how are so many people doing this effectively? Yeah, I think it's quite a project in the phase that you're in with at least one of them still.
Yeah. Were your twins your first?
They were two and three. So we had our first before that.
Okay. That's probably a good thing.
Yes. Break us in a little bit. Not a sleeper at all. So it was kind of like practice for having two.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. Nice. All right. Short-term versus long-term. Is it possible to beat the market?
It's not possible to beat the market. Short-term, throw as much money in as you can, as soon as you can. Don't try to time it. Don't dollar cost average it. Throw it in as soon as possible. Odds are in your favor. Let time do its work. Over 1 year, the odds you'll be down are 25%. Over 10 years, the odds you're going to be down are just 1 or 2 or 3%. Time is the factor. Get your money in. Give it the time to grow. Don't worry about the short run.
What's wrong with dollar cost averaging?
Well, I mean, if you're getting a paycheck every month and you put money in from the paycheck every month, you're dollar cost averaging. That's great. But if you are getting somebody, you get a gift of $5,000, you get a tax refund of $3,000, just put it in. Don't spread it out over 6 months because the market has an upward bias. If you do that same action your entire life, you're going to come out ahead about 70% of the time, which means you're coming out ahead, right? If you were going to do something and be right 70% of the time, that's the thing to do in investing.
I see the book behind you says Money Simplified. Is that... And then I remember a Danny Kahneman quote, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Talking about how the entire financial industry is built on an illusion of skill. And I always really enjoyed that one. I've always thought
100%. Yeah. And I try to cover that. Money Simplified is my latest book. And I really try to take all the concepts someone needs to know to be a great investor and distill them out down in the most simplified fashion possible. You can read the whole thing in 30 minutes. And I think you'd get the knowledge of somebody who's been at it for 10 years. That's what I really tried to accomplish there.
How long did it take you to write?
You know, that's the fourth book I've written, and the books tend to write themselves. It's how long they kind of sit in your brain for a while. And then you take notes and then you lay them out. I lay them out on a wall or on the floor in order. And by the time I get through all of that, which takes like a year, then I knock the whole thing out in 3 days. That's been generally my writing pattern.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Is the next one already floating around your brain?
It is. I'm thinking about doing something for kids or teenagers, and another one for athletes. And so those are the two that are kind of percolating around right now.
I appreciate that. Why athletes?
We have a lot of clients that are athletes, and they have a very unique situation in that oftentimes, obviously, very high income. So they're the top 1% of income, but for most of them, it's just 3 years, last 3 years. So you have this huge income, you're in a locker room, somebody else might, you know, you might be a lineman in the NFL, your total earnings of your whole life is going to be maybe 3 million, 4 million. You're sitting next to a quarterback who's worth $1 billion, and you want to live that lifestyle. And how do you know what to do? You're only 23. Plus many of them are from communities where a lot of people are saying, hey, you made it. We all said, if one of us makes it, you're going to help all of us. And so you see a disproportionate amount go broke. And so it's dealing with that sudden wealth, rapid education, where your boss is demanding peak performance and attention from you, where you're going to spend 50 years of your life or 100 or 70 years of your life not playing, right? So it's a very unique set of circumstances. And I think trying to find a way to simplify for them how to tackle that is probably something I'll work on here eventually.
I love it. Sudden wealth.
We have quite a few athletes as clients, and I just see the same theme over and over.
Yeah. Sudden wealth, rapid. What was that? Do you remember what you said?
No, I don't.
It was really good.
I know, in a short career, you got sudden wealth, people coming out of the woodwork, and you're going to go 50, 70 years, you know, without, yeah. income in many cases. And so really trying to help people deal with that, right?
Do you get excited about the touchy-feely behavioral finance stuff?
I love it. I think it's very true that people's mindset about money is set when they're very, very young, usually based on the household they grew up in. And they have this feeling of abundance and things are going to work out, or they're fearful that they're not going to be enough money and so on. And I think that really influences how a lot of people operate. But I think even people who come from a position of abundance miss the basics of investing because they don't understand really over the long run how markets work. And so I think the behavioral element is very, very significant. But I think that you can conquer the behavioral element with some basic education, right? And then it can be behind you, right? But most people never get that basic education. So it becomes the number, when you look and say, what's the number one reason this person is not financially independent or things got screwed up? It was behavioral. But it takes a very small amount to get that enough education there to be able to move on to other things.
Yeah, well said. Well, Peter, we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us, sir?
Well, because we talked about it, I'm going to change my tip and say that, you know, whoever's listening, if you don't have money automatically going into account, do that this week. Put it on your calendar that one way or another, every paycheck, let's say you don't make a lot, make it $5, right? If you can make it 50 or 100. If you're at work and you have a 401k and the employer will match part of your contribution, start there. If there's no 401k at work, open an Roth IRA and start there. But call Vanguard, go to Charles Schwab, go to Fidelity. If you've got a larger account, call an advisor like we do here at Creative Planning and open an account and start the automation of it. And everything will work out fine from there, but you've got to start because it's much easier to increase the amount or lower the amount later. But opening the account and starting that automatic deposit, that's the biggest difference between a future millionaire and one that's not a future millionaire.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Peter, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? Where can they get a copy of your book? All the things.
So Money Simplified is the book, and you can get it on Amazon and a lot of other places. And then Creative Planning is the firm. You can go to creativeplanning.com and reach out through there for more information.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Peter your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Money Simplified wherever you buy your books, certainly Amazon. Go to creativeplanning.com and just get started. Just like Peter was saying, the difference-making tip, if you're not currently automatically saving money, get started with that. Stop listening. Go do that immediately. Thanks again, Peter.
Thanks, George.
And a friendly reminder, never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.